Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?
Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. If you believe in me, you will know your Father as well.
From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. The word of the Lord, for which we are grateful. Our song of preparation today is My Faith Looks Up to Thee, another old hymn of the church. As we prepare our hearts for the message today. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. We ask that you would breathe now on these lips of clay and on each one of us listening, that we may hear your words of truth, and may they find fertile soil in our souls, that it might be good for us now and throughout eternal ages. Draw us close in this preaching moment is my prayer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning our message is entitled, Doubt Ends Where Faith Begins. Doubt ends where faith begins. You know, we live in a world where there are so many doubts, and all of us have doubted something at some point or another. And doubt means what? To be unconvinced or uncertain about someone or something. Uncertain. We're living in a time when people don't know what they're going to do about voting, or they don't know who they're going to vote for or why. They're in doubt how the financial situation is going to turn out, and all kinds of things make people doubt. Our country is in a turmoil over a number of things. It's nationally, it's in our communities, it's in our homes, on every level. We're experiencing crises of some kind, and sometimes when we face crises, it causes us to doubt whether God is in control, or to doubt what we really believe about God and who he is, who Jesus is. Some people really are not sure. Our text is from John this morning, chapter 20, and it's the occasion of Thomas. Let me read it. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together and when the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. After Jesus said, Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those," that's you and me, "who have not seen and yet believe." Blessed are you who have not seen and yet you believe. That's what Jesus said. The words of Jesus knew all about him, Thomas, doubting. He wasn't even with them, but he walked straight over to Thomas when he comes the second time. Just like he knows you and I. He knows each one of us what we believe concerning him. Are we like Thomas? Who is Jesus to you? Do you believe he's the Savior of the world? Or do you have to see it? But he said he's going away and he's coming back again. Do you believe that? Or do you have to see it to believe it? It was that week after the resurrection of Jesus when they were at this house. And I'm sure that they were. It was understandable, humanly, that they would be despondent and disappointed because this man, this wonderful Savior that had been with them all along, was gone now. And now all the things that they saw, healing the sick, raising the dead, all of that, they saw that. They witnessed that. They were with him. And yet, when he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross, they started to doubt. Just because they didn't understand what it was all about. It must have been an awesome, awesome moment when Thomas, in the same moment of doubting, when he put his fingers in the wounds, and then he believed. That moment when he both didn't believe and now he believes. That must have been a thundering moment, life-changing moment for Thomas. Imagine, he's only human. Jesus said, "Do not doubt, but believe." There's power in belief. "Stop doubting and believe," he says. Some have said seeing is believing. And in this case, it is true. Thomas, seeing and feeling, he believed. He responded to the Lord's invitation to see and feel by saying, "My Lord and my God." What emotion that must have been. You know, we don't understand all the ways that God leads us in this life. And there are things indeed that would cause us to doubt. But what is on your mind right now? What do you believe? What are your doubts about the Lord Jesus Christ? Was he just a good prophet? Did he just do some good things and walk the earth? And do you really believe he's coming back again? You know, we can doubt without having a lifestyle of doubt. It's okay sometimes to doubt sometimes. Doubt is used to pose a question, which is okay, to get an answer, to push for an answer or a decision. But doubt should never, ever be permitted to be a permanent condition. We shouldn't part with doubt. No. What can we learn from Thomas's experience? Jesus does not reject doubts that are honest and directed toward belief. It is better to doubt out loud than to disbelieve in silence. And we show what we believe by how we live. I can say I believe something all day long, but if my lifestyle doesn't reflect it, that means what? I've got some doubt going there somewhere. I once was not sure. You know, people say, oh, Jesus is the Christ. But until you've had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, until you've accepted him and he becomes Lord of your life, until he's brought you through something, you don't know it experientially. And so you have reason to doubt. You have nothing to base your belief on. I can read about it. I can hear about it. But until I experience it, until I put it to the test, that means what? I have to exercise faith. Faith is what? Believing what you can't see, what you can't prove. All down through history, there were those whose lives led them in paths they could not understand, hardships they couldn't understand, why a loving God would permit them to go through such things. I'm remembering now a few. Abraham. He couldn't understand why God gave him this wonderful son, this promised son in his old age, and then asked him to sacrifice him. He couldn't understand that, but he trusted, and God showed him the glory in that. Jesus told Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died. Jesus said, what? Believe and you will see. Just believe and you'll see. I'm thinking now, Moses. He didn't understand why he had to be in the wilderness for 40 years either. He didn't understand it, but he trusted. And as he trusted, he was able to see when God chose him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He could see then what it was all about. God is up to something in everything that he permits, believe me. Joseph. Oh, I love Joseph, the story of Joseph. He could not understand why his brothers treated him so badly. He couldn't understand why Potiphar's wife, this perfidious woman, accused him unjustly and he was thrown into prison for a long time, unjust. But what did he do? He believed God. He trusted God. And then he became viceroy. He became the savior of a nation and of his own brothers and his father. We don't understand all the ways that God leads us. I think about the Gold Star moms. I saw a presentation at the conference this past week as I was in New Hampshire. One of the chaplains is doing a paper on Gold Star moms, those are the women who have lost daughters and sons in the Iraqi war. And some of them have lost their faith because God allowed their son or their daughter to be killed in Iraq. They can't put it together. And it just moved my heart to think, my God, it takes a choice. Faith is a choice. We have to choose to trust God no matter what. We may not understand the loss. And I thought of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She did not understand what the angel was telling her. Say that she was going to be, you know, have a child. She'd never known a man. Can you imagine what that must? She didn't understand that. And it was a lifetime of heartache and pain. To the point of seeing her son, what? Crucified. She knew who he was. But she pondered it in her heart. Pondered in her heart. Didn't understand it. But she trusted God. So what? We have to learn to trust God's word. He is who he says he is. He will do what he said he's going to do. We have to choose. Am I going to trust God? Or am I going to trust somebody else? Or am I going to lean into my own understanding? The Bible tells us not to lean in our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Do not lean into your own understanding. Don't doubt. Believe that Jesus is who he is. He's alive, I tell you, and he said he's coming back again for us. Do we believe it? If we believe it, then what? Our lives will say so. We will live expectant, not doubting, wondering what's going to happen. But knowing that he says, I will never forsake you, I will never leave you. Oh, child of God, you're not expected to understand all the ways God is going to lead you. God doesn't expect you to. You do not expect your child to understand everything you tell them, do you? But you do expect them to believe you. God is the same way. He expects us to believe he is and will do exactly what he said he'd do. But we have to choose. We choose by having faith. You know what? Faith begins when we what? Honor God. God, honor. Knowing that God is God and we are not. We are not God. We are His children. We're His created beings. We have to say goodbye to pride in order to realize that. We have to choose to have faith in God. Faith develops when we choose to believe God will do what He said He will do. Faith grows when we serve God. And faith is being determined and confident no matter what. Hold on to what He's told us, no matter what. And in the words of Jesus, again, don't doubt, just believe. Believe He is who He is. Believe He will do what He said He's going to do. And watch Him work. I guarantee you, God will prove Himself faithful every time. But we won't know it unless we try Him. Unless we choose this day, that's what Joshua said, I choose you this day whom you will serve. And my question to you, I know who I believe He is. Who do you say He is? Who is He to you? There is an old song that, as Sylvia comes, my grandmother used to sing. You know how they used to sing those songs without music? She would say, I don't know what Jesus is to you, but I hope He is to you what He is to me. Well, He's all I love to own. He's my chief cornerstone. I don't know what Jesus is to you. And you know something? There was a time when I didn't understand that. But I'm so grateful that today I do. I know who He is to me. And so we're going to close with this song, Only Believe. Only believe. All things are possible if you only believe. We're going to start with the verses together. Fear not, little flock, from the cross to the throne, from death into life, He went for His own. Love, only Lord, we thank you for your word that instructs us, that encourages us, and causes us to lift our eyes up and believe. Believe in what we cannot see, in what we cannot understand, to have faith in you no matter what, for we know that you're a promise keeper. We ask now that you would let this message sink deep into our hearts, that we may walk a life of confidence in you, steadfast confidence in you. Not in the world, not in others, but in you. For we know you to be a God who keeps your word. We thank you now for this day of worship. We ask now that you would be with each one of us. May you go with us as we leave this place, but may we never ever leave the awareness of your consciousness, of your presence. And now unto the one who is able to keep us and present us faultless before the throne of grace, unto him be all power, majesty, and dominion. And we all say together, Amen. Have a blessed week, and God bless you.